But yeah, it takes place for people who haven't seen the show. I don't know why you're listening this far, but it's about people working for an evil corporation. Evil and confounding corporation.
Yeah, yeah. Evil in a way that the show, I don't believe, has yet even mildly clued us into what this company does.
I hope they never do.
I don't think that's necessarily the goal of the show, but evil in a contained way, and in the way that it operates internally, seems to be just real creepy.
Real creepy, and I think you're right. The point of it is not to figure out what they do, what they make, how they profit. The point is that we're viewing all this from the point of view of like office drones, essentially, mm-hmm. who are severed, a la the name of the show. The people in real life above ground have chosen for a payment for personal psychological reasons to have half of their life, the half of their life that takes place working for this Lumen Corporation underground, be severed from them. Essentially, they become two different people. Above ground, they live their normal life, live a life of leisure, whatever that means for them. Below ground, when they go down the elevator, they become like an office drone, but never the twain meets. You know, the two, they've now been severed, and there's like two different experiences. So they go to work and get paid, but they never have to experience it. Mm-hmm. Is that an adequate explanation of the show? Yeah.
And again, you know, I think the show does a good job of, you know, of showing you why you might want that. Though I think that even that description, there's like a little bit in there that you're like, oh man, if again, as we're talking about sort of the drudgery of any work life, and even if you're working, you know, a dream job or something like that, there is always an amount of drudgery to it. Yeah. The idea of like, if I could never remember what that is, you know, if I never really have to experience that, wouldn't that be incredible? And then, you know, yeah, there's a part that you think like, wow, that might be cool. And then very quickly you're like, wait, no.
No, the answer to that is drugs, and you experience it, but just a little fucked up.
I mean, something that always gets me about this show, the main protagonist, Mark, he is told at some point in the first, well, let me back up. He undergoes this severance procedure because his wife dies in a way that really traumatizes him, and he finds it helpful to have, you know, the work half of his life be completely separate from all those horrible memories. And then he is told in the first season, when you're at work, you do still feel that pain, even if you can't remember it on the outside. You just, when you're at work, you don't know what it is.
It's just ambient, like, pain that you feel, yeah.
And that's something that, like, I mean, kind of feels true to life for me. Like, for all those times in my life when I've been in some kind of agony, like, right after my dad died, I went back to work 2 days later, maybe the next day, honestly, and had to just pretend that I wasn't feeling that pain, and had to pretend that I didn't know exactly what it was. And yeah, that really makes me feel like this severance procedure is just, you're literalizing that experience of having to leave your home life at home when you go to work.
Yeah. Right. And notice the severing process happens after their commute's done. If I was doing this shit, I'd want the commute severed too, because that's some of the worst part of it.
At home and not the drive to the fucking building. You know, and like, basically when they're there, they are basically, it is like, so they can better perform as essentially machines, right? Mm-hmm. Like, also the nature, I think what I find really fascinating is the nature of the work that they're doing, at least the main characters on the show, is they like have this like mysterious computer where they're just like looking at numbers, and they get like a tingly ASMR feeling at the right numbers, and they're just moving them around on the screen, and it's like nonsense work, but like it's clearly like something's going on with their brains, and like something's been done to them,
yes,
so they can perform this work
intuitively. They can figure
but it is like out. Again, completely like there's no, but they just need people to do it, you know. So it's this interesting thing where it's like, yeah, like they've like, these people have been completely sublimated into like a very machine like process, and it is more helpful for them to not be thinking about their dead wives.
Right.
While they're like, when you walk through the door at a sort of like, you know, desk job, a lot of them, you are sort of expected to be like, well, you're here now and this is the only thing that exists. Right. And that's like the sort of obviously the big idea of the show is mm-hmm. like when you're there, you only exist as like a thing to make profit for this company.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, whatever those profits are, whatever it is that they're making, you're there to make those profits. Goats? They are goats in there. The part of it, and I was this struck me when Rax was talking about the process of work, is like a meditation on like workaholics, right? Yeah. Because we're all familiar. I have workaholics in my family. I feel like everybody in capitalist society has a bit of workaholic in them because when you're at work, you're not obviously severed. This is a sci-fi fantasy that they're talking about here, right? But there is a way in which like it's possible to sublimate your emotions. It's possible to like knuckle down and get stuff done in a way that does make real life, quote unquote, easier to deal with, at least for eight to 10 hours at a time, whatever it is that you work. And that like, there's also something too, because we live in a world where like labor is literally valorized, but also like socially valorized too. When you're at work, you're a person. When you're at work, you're like doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so that time, no matter how boring and how much drudgery it is, whether it's white collar, blue collar, pink collar, whatever, is meaningful if only because you're there.
Yeah.
You're doing what one is supposed to do.
I feel like there's one of the parts of the show that I find really fascinating is that the work that they do, the sort of reward structure built into it, where there are constantly these little office parties or new snacks being introduced or, you know, a dance break or something. And I see this all the time, right, in sort of desk job office work of being like, oh, we're going to have
pizza party.
we're doing this little happy hour. Doing, you know, right, we got these new snacks in the fridge and these little incentivizing things. But also, right, I think in terms of the workaholicness, I know for myself, whenever that part of me comes up, it is always for this sort of like direct reward structure that work offers, where it's like I write an article, I turn it in, it goes online, and, you know, people read it, like, often, usually, people will tell me good job. Sometimes they'll tell me bad job, and I hate that. But, like, there's an immediate reaction there. Yeah. And there's that feeling of accomplishment of, like, I was given an assignment, and I turned in my assignment, and I hit my deadline, and, like, that is what I was supposed to do versus all the other parts of life where there is not sort of that direct, like, here is someone telling you what to do and you are accomplishing it. Right. And it really, you know, it's a very maybe like childish or base instinct, but I think most people do have that instinct to want to accomplish the tasks that somebody asks them to do.
Yeah, and get feedback from that and acknowledgement that that task has been completed.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Like, you don't get that paying your gas bill or whatever.
No what Con Ed is not like, good job, sweetie. Like, and even if they did, that would suck. But like,
someday they
soon,
will.
Yeah, using soon, AI. Con Ed's AI assistant. It says, good job, sweetie. When
your sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Just like a Con Ed operator 50, 60 years ago.
Thanks for paying me, and great ass, by the way.
They train the AI out on the streets with the Con Ed truck. The guys that operate the Con Ed truck. Night at night's ass, sweetheart. I know those guys. But yeah, there's like a real interesting 20th century vibe that hangs over the whole show, which I think is cool. A pastiche of different 20th centuries, because of course there's like the a constant character, even, because there's a cartoon that pops up in the second season, is like the building, the strip mall, like suburban office park building that they all work with, a giant parking lot that they show over and over covered in trees and in snow oftentimes, the building itself kind of looming large. This suburban office park structure, I feel like, is very like 1960s, 1970s, 1980s. Very redolent of like maybe a previous regime of accumulation, which gets me to what's interesting about this and the Lumen Corporation itself. which is that what's creepy about this corporation is that it's like a 1950s or 1960s corporation, in that it's like a family corporation, in that what's creepy about it is that, like, it's the Eamon family, right? They're called Egan family, like, personally, like, runs everything, designs everything, puts together all the different party favors or whatever it is, puts together the rewards and the punishments. Yeah. Of course, they're like held up like gods. Yeah. Like, I mean,
there's like straight up a religion about, like, a religion
about Kierism, you know, something we haven't seen since maybe the DuPont Corporation. Yeah. Right? And their high point in like the early to mid 20th
century. It feels very like pioneer Mormon-y.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, a little bit. And maybe I'm just thinking about like the wax figures in Angels in America, but like there's like that very much that sort of feeling of like these people like have led us into a new sort, like it's like sort of 20th century millenarianism.
Yeah.
Millenarianism.
Like, yeah, like that's Brigham Young.
Yeah.
Sort of,
like it just feels like that very American, version of like, we're going to find the promised land, but it's like also manifest destiny.
Yeah. Nothing more American than Mormonism in that case. Right.
For real.
Well, it's a powerful company too. Like in the world of the show, they're putting on all these high end fundraisers and shit. And everybody who is at the upper levels of the company obviously has quite a lot of money and influence. And they're literally pioneering a surgery specifically for their employees. They've got offices in every country on the planet.
Yeah.
They seem to control the town like severely.
Yeah. Oh, it's clearly a company town. Yeah. It's where all the employees live. And then for a company in that position to still be doing the we're all family here thing feels A, very true to life, and B, very creepy.
Yeah. Big time.
But about the surgery, it's also kind of a very 20th century kind of show. Because the stuff that they do works, which like if it was if it was a show that was set now, and it was like they were Neuralink chipping you, it would be like killing everybody.
Right,
but like the little surgery works perfectly well, which is like that kind of like conspiracy mindedness is like more, you know, X-Files or like the Parallax View or something. It's very 1900s.
Yeah,
you know, like. Like the stuff, it seems to be like critiquing like kind of like a different kind of a different era of capitalism and labor.
It's what's fascinating, because I was thinking about this in the last episode when Dylan, who's a great character, he also plays the for comedy too in Succession. He plays the kid that Kieran Culkin meets in the management training course when he goes down to Florida. Yeah. Great actor, whatever his name is, Dylan. The character is at a job interview, and in the course of this, as it turns out, failing job interview, the guy across from him says, like, damn, Lumen, they still make all their doors in-house.
Yeah.
He's a door salesman.
He's a door company.
He's a hubris, yeah. And that's what got me thinking, because what's creepy about Lumen is that, like, it does everything in-house still. And, like, us, we're so used to a corporation that would outsource its doors to this thing and whatever that, like,
it's now self-contained.
The way that things were in the 20th century, which is, like, large self-contained corporations run by, like, sure, a board of directors, but having, like, a controlling family behind it, that now seems creepy to us because we're used to some nameless, faceless, like, shareholder-driven corporation that does one little thing. Yeah. It outsources its security and its doors and whatever to all sorts of different lean, mean operations. There's, like, something creepy in 20th century about not just the pastiche of, like, the Commodore 64 computers and shit like that and the weird 70s dance parties they have with pineapples and other fruits, but, like, there's something about that moment of capital accumulation that now can only be played as like creepy and like imposing upon people.
Yeah.
Hey folks, Sean KB here. Just a reminder that our show relies on your support. So if you enjoy what we do and you want to hear more excellent bonus content, you can become a patron at patreon.com/theantifada. It's cheap, there's a ton of content, and it would mean everything to us. So thank you, and we'll see you behind the paywall.